Someone told me it's all happening at the zoo. I do believe it. I do believe it's true.
It's a light and tumble journey. Yes, I love going to the zoo. That's Simon and Garfunkel. Very, 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 very old song, and I apologize if you're not familiar with it, from the album Bookends, which is, I think, my favorite Simon and Garfunkel record. It has a lot of good songs on it. Faking It being another one, but we're not talking about faking things. I'm talking today about going to the zoo, because yesterday I went to Zoo Atlanta with Gilbert and Gilbert being my son, and also Caitlin, who is my wife, and his mother. So we took our son to the zoo. We met up with a couple of Caitlin's friends, and their daughter, who Gilbert gets along with quite well. And I found out after we were there for a couple of hours, but I found out that taking toddlers to the zoo is like taking toddlers to the zoo. I was trying to think of a metaphor or a comparison, an analogy, but I couldn't think of anything. The one thing I thought is like taking an untrained dog to church and trying to expect it to sit there the entire time. Now imagine if I said untrained. Yeah, going to the zoo with a toddler who's almost 3 years old. He's interested in the animals. He thinks the animals are cool, but he also is interested in the train tracks that we went over, and there was no train. The vehicles that drive around, you know, the golf carts, whatever you want to call them, the 100% green fueled tram vehicles that the workers have. He's interested in that stuff. Popcorn. He told me that he saw a lot of popcorn, but he had a good time. So that's cool. It's just not easy. You know, maybe when they're five, a little bit older, they'll be more interested in the animals. And he's not, I mean, if I had taken him to a used car lot, he would have had a much better time, because he would have gone to every car and asked me what they were. And then he even remembers what some of them are. He knows Nissans and he knows Subarus because his parents drive those. But he wouldn't be interested in anything, you know, the people there. He just want to look at the cars, which is why eventually I have to go out to where my dad lives, because my dad takes his Chevelle and goes to different car shows west of the city. And one of these days I'm going to take him out there, hopefully soon, hopefully this year when it gets warm. But he enjoyed pushing his wagon, and he was more interested in that than the kookaburra, which is a bird. Kookaburra is a bird. I think it's from Australia. He did dig the pandas and the elephants. There's one part of the zoo, Zoo Atlanta, that has a petting zoo, and they have goats for little kids to brush, some sheep they can pet. I think there was a pig there, but the pig was all by himself. Gilbert kept switching out the brushes because I don't know why. They were different colors. He'd grab a brush, then he'd walk over to the goat and half-assedly rub the brush on the goat. I think they scared him. I mean, a goat to a kid is, you know, a horse to us. He'd sort of brush the goat, and then he'd go swap the brush out for a blue one. And then he'd swap that one out for the black one, then go back and get the red one, and constantly telling me, this one's blue, Daddy, which I thought was cool. He wouldn't pet the sheep. He said, I'm too scared. So at least he's honest. He's not hiding it. Don't be afraid. I mean, don't be afraid to say you're afraid, son. And he wasn't. I'm scared. And I corrected him, and I said, I am scared. He said, I am scared. Like I said, Caitlin's friend brought her toddler too. Well, Caitlin's friend and her husband, they brought their toddler. She was good at calming me Gil down when he'd get all antsy. She'd hold his hand, ask him what the matter was, and she was very good at sharing the toys. Gilbert brought some animal toys that he enjoyed throwing out of the wagon onto the walkway, but that's cool. And I don't know, I'm talking about it because I don't usually do stuff like that. This is, I think, the second time that they've gone to the zoo. They've gone to the aquarium, and this is the first time I've gone, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun. And for whatever reason, I guess I'm lazy or because I'm working or something like that. But I did enjoy it. I like her friends. I like her friend's husband. He's easy to talk to and he's funny. And, you know, we can talk about stuff that we both like. And it's kind of cool. All in all, it was a fun day until we got to the Flamingos. And Flamingos became Let's Go's because that's when the meltdown began. It's funny. I mean, people talk about their kids, I guess. And what's, I think, unique to our situation is that I'm 53. I'll be 54 this year. He's going to be 3. So I'm 51, 50 years older than our son. And I can't imagine what it would have been like 20, say if I'd had children at a normal adult age, whatever that is, but say early 30s or whatever, how different things would have been, how impatient I would have been, how easily I would have been triggered to anger over stupid things. Because a lot of times I just laugh or I just, you know, calmly reply when he's freaking out, because there's no point in yelling at a toddler or screaming or, you know, because you get frustrated because they don't do what you want them to do. But like anything. And so people get mad when they can't control the outcome of things. Not everyone, but a lot of people do. I'm one of those people. And without any sort of maturity that I limited amount of maturity that I've been able to have since I was a younger person in my late 20s, early 30s, I think I probably would have been kind of a dick. So I'm kind of glad. You know, it is frustrating. Because I look at him and I'm like, that's me. That's me not even 10 years ago. That's me 5 years ago when he's throwing a fit, screaming. I'm like, dude, I understand. I completely get that because that still happens in my brain. And I'm 50 years older than you and I still have that base animalistic brain. No. He wants his Binky. I want my Marlboro Lights. I don't think that there's a vast difference between the two things, except I don't sleep with cigarettes in my mouth. But he's doing a good job at letting us wean him off of it. During the day, he doesn't have it. He certainly doesn't have it at his daycare or his school. And, you know, if I say, give me that, he'll give it to me. Sometimes it's a struggle, but usually as soon as I wake him up, he just hands it to me because he knows the drill. But I liked watching him be excited. You know, like I said, my wife's done most of that stuff, and I haven't really done a lot, and I enjoy it. You know, we took him to an air show a couple of years ago that he liked the planes, and then about a year after that, we took him to the airport. He loves that stuff, and so I got to do more of that. When I was a kid, there were a couple of places that my mom would take me to see animals, and I grew up in North Central Pennsylvania, Tioga County, she being a single mother. It's a very rural area. It still is, but it was more rural then. And she would take me. There was a petting zoo and a feeding zoo at some place, and I forget the name of it, like Wild Animal Farm or Wild Game, something or other, but it was off of Route 15, traveling between my hometown, Mansfield, and the town that was south of us, Blossburg, Pennsylvania. And you could just go up and feed deer and goats. I think they had some ponies. I don't know. You could pet smaller animals. And I remember that you'd hold your, I was scared, but you would hold your hand flat with the corn in it and the deer would eat the corn off of your hand, you know, and then you'd get deer slobber all over your hand. But I don't know. I don't remember it that well. I just know that it was there. There's another one over near a town called Wellsboro, Pennsylvania. And the Pine Creek Gorge area that's outside of Wellsboro that they call the Pennsylvania Grand Canyon. Now, Google it if you're not familiar with it. It's beautiful, especially in the fall. In the fall when all the colors have changed, you know, and up north where the leaves get really bright and vibrant and they're multiple colors. It's a beautiful place to be. They had this zoo called Animaland. And that was sort of like a real zoo, even though it was very, very sad. They had old, mangy American bison that probably served their time. Like, these were too old for even Ted Turner to chop up and turn into a burger. They were just old. But it was cool. It was the only place you were going to see bison if you lived where I lived. But they had all the animals, you know. But a lot of them were animals that lived out in the wild. Another sad animal was that they had a cougar, which I found out, I'll get to a little bit later. I watched this video about cougars, and I'm not talking about like the old lady that lives across the hall from you in your apartment complex, that if it were 3 a.m. and she let you in after you came home drunk, you'd bang her. Not that kind of cougar. A mountain lion, which is a feline and not a big cat. I learned a lot last night. I went on a deep dive on animals. But the mountain lion was in a small cave, and it just paced back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, hissing, very upset. I mean, it was in a small space. It was like in one of those old red circus cages that animals, you know, the one on the train where you could see into it, like on the cover of a box of animal crackers. I always felt bad for that thing. Another embarrassing, they had a gray squirrel in a cage who had to sit there and watch his hundreds of other squirrels ran around the park. This poor squirrel was in a cage. That place is gone now. Long gone, I believe. It probably ran out of money. And, you know, that's, I would say it's probably not the place for the most humane treatment. I think the first zoo, but the first, all right, my mom took me to a place that is also gone. It was called the Catskill Game Farm. It was in the Catskill Mountains, New York State. Think Dirty Dancing. That was the Catskills. That's where all the kids, and then they had a comedy circuit there too. But a lot of kids from New York City and Long Island would go there to get fresh air and go to camp for a week. Well, we went there, and they had another place. It was like Old Forge, New York. So it's all or the Adirondacks. I don't know. I'm not looking at a map right now. But we went there, and there was another place called the Enchanted Forest, which had a lot of Disney characters that I don't think were paid for. There were old fairy tales, the non-Disneyfied versions of these things. Paul Bunyan statue was there, which I think is still there. Anyway, this Catskill Game Farm had elephants and giraffes and all sorts of things that you'd expect to see at a game farm. And my mom took me there once. And then I didn't really, my first proper zoo, my dad and stepmom took me to Ross Park Zoo in Binghamton, New York, which I looked up yesterday and it's still there. And then after that, we went to Toronto, and I think it was 1983, because Jason, my brother, was 2. And we went to the Toronto Zoo, which was amazing to me. And I bet it would still be amazing to me. It's just sprawling, amazing zoo with tons of animals. And I think at the time had the most McDonald's restaurants in one space than anywhere else in the world. I'm sure that's changed by now. But I thought that was cool. And I also liked how everything had French and English on it. So I have a lot of souvenirs from that. I found a feather there, a seagull feather. And I still have it in a scrapbook, along with packets of salt and a Kit Kat wrapper. That was 40-some years ago. Anyway, I still have that stuff. But in I get that we need zoos, but I really feel sorry for birds. At the Zoo Atlanta, they have that kookaburra, which is a cool-looking bird. It's like a giant, I don't know, like a giant blue jay. Doesn't have the same colors. Or maybe a kingfisher. It's a cool-looking bird, but all it does is fly back and forth from its hole in like a building they made for it, and then it goes back to a tree and then back and forth, and it makes noise. It was loud. But it must suck because he's in that cage and then he looks up in the sky and there's, you know, literally thousands of birds flying all over the place. Different kinds of birds. Crows, hawks, falcons, sparrows, blue jays, robins. All sorts of birds. And he's stuck in his little cage. And all these other birds are picking up all the garbage people drop. Popcorn, candy, you know, all that crap that city birds eat, pigeons, whatever. And then they have this big vulture, like, you know, you see all these old shows from, like, when the lions and the hyenas are done eating whatever they killed, the vultures come along, the carrion, and they eat all the crap. Well, this is one of those types of gigantic vultures. But that's in a cage, too. No idea what they feed it, but at least they had a fake dead zebra. They had a zebra, like a plaster of Paris. Well, I don't know what it was made out of, but it was a zebra in a cage. Its ribs were exposed, the fake guts, just like home. I'm sure that vulture loves it. That, you got to wonder what they feel. They kill an animal, throw it in there. Go ahead and eat this. Mmm. We didn't go see the primates. The primates are my favorites. I like the gorillas, and I like the orangutans. But like I said, Mr. Gilbert, by the time we got to gone back to the flamingos, he had had enough, so we had to leave. But the primates, I really, next time we go, I'm going to go right to the primates because I love watching those gorillas. They're social with their own, but then they're really, like, they look at you and, you know, you just know that if you got in there, they'd pummel you. They'd beat the shit out of you because they're just muscle. That's all they are, is just muscle. Huge, muscular animals that could kill you with one blast from its huge fist. But they're cool looking. And I guess if you can get close enough to just look at them, it's kind of neat. But just like in pop culture with science fiction and monster movies, I really dig the apes. I like Planet of the Apes, King Kong, Dunstan Checks In, Every Which Way But Loose. Dunstan Checks In and Every Which Way But Loose are the two best films ever made with a real orangutan in them. A King Kong, of course, fake. Planet of the Apes, fake. CGI now. But you get it. I like it. I like that stuff. Gilbert did enjoy seeing the elephants and the panda bears the most. As far as what we saw yesterday, I dug seeing the rhinos. Mitt Romney and Nikki Haley were standing outside of the rhinoceros area, so I was able to see rhinos and a rhinoceros. While we were at the panda area, I overheard a woman, everyone heard her, lamenting the eventual return of our beloved panda bears to their homeland of China. And given her demeanor, if I hadn't walked away quickly, I'm sure I would have heard that it was Trump's fault that the pandas are going back. But China is very, I don't know, they're very passive aggressive. They use the panda bears that everybody wants to see because they're so rare and because they're indigenous to China. Everybody wants to see them. And everybody thinks they're cute, even though they're dicks. More on that later. But China uses them diplomatically, and then they also use them when they're mad. They're going, oh, we're going to take them back. We're going to take them back. San Diego Zoo, we're going to take them back because you're mean. We're going to take our pandas back because you said something we don't like. Or you sent an envoy to Taiwan, or you spoke to the Dalai Lama. Well, you spoke to the Dalai Lama, but we're going to take our pandas back. All right, take your pandas back. Whatever. They do better in the wild than they do in captivity anyway, which I also found out. I thought maybe we could clone the panda bears or freeze some embryos and do IVF with like a bear that's close enough to give birth to them. And I had, you know, I'd always thought the pandas aren't really bears, but then I found out that they're misnamed, that they're bears, but they're misnamed. That there's a red panda, which is a panda, which is related to a raccoon, but bears are bears. The panda bears are bears. And I don't know. I like my idea of getting some of their embryos, or no, getting some of their eggs, their females' eggs, taking some of the male sperm, making them embryos, and keeping them in Alabama. No, you can't keep them in Alabama. We better not keep them in Alabama. But China does have a chopstick up its ass about them, and so I didn't really know a lot about them, and I went and found a cool video. Well, I didn't seek to find this video. I just typed in pandas in YouTube, and the first video that popped up was by this creator named Casual Geographic. And he's a younger guy, and he just laid it all out. That nature has been telling us forever that the panda's got to go. The panda has got to go. The panda isn't smart enough. They're not very eager to procreate. They just want to eat all day. And that's what we've observed in captivity, is that you have a male and a female panda. And this was shown, and you got to watch this video. The guy's name is Casual Geographic. Just go there and you'll find it. So these pandas, they're dumb. They don't have big brains because all they do is eat bamboo. That's how they've, you know, they have strong jaws. They're bears. If you go mess with them, they'll rip you to pieces. But they're just dumb. They don't think about procreation. And when you put them in a cage all day and people are walking by them all the time, could you imagine if you were in a habitat and thousands of people every day walked by you, would you, and you live with somebody that you didn't select, like they just said, okay, you and this female have to live in this place and you're going to eat whatever we give you and people are going to look at you all day, but we want you to fuck and we want you to have a baby. We want you to fucking have a baby, but you're going to be watched constantly and you don't really know each other. You're just thrown in, hey, you're a female, you're a male. And I learned all this in this Casual Geographic video, is they don't do well because they just, who wants to fuck? Well, there was a zoo in Shanghai. Same problem. These two, a male and a female panda. Well, in 2020, the pandemic hit. Nobody's coming along. All they did was fuck, and then they had babies. How about that? So I'll let you watch that video. It's very interesting. If you want to know more about it, just, again, go to YouTube and type in Casual Geographic, and maybe I'll include it in the link in the show notes here. But the zoo, man, I love the zoo. I want to go back. We'll take him back later this year. Maybe we can go see the apes, the monkeys, the chimpanzees. Maybe we can build a zoo on the moon someday. We sent this stupid thing up to the moon. We haven't gone to the moon since the early 70s.
If we did at all. I don't know, man. I have a feeling that Stanley Kubrick created all that footage for us, and we use that because, I mean, like,
I always believed that we went to the moon, but I've seen the vehicles or replicas of the vehicle. It just doesn't. We have better technology now. Why can't we go back to the moon? We've had better. Why can't we go to the moon? Why can't we go land on the moon? How did we have the technology in the 60s and early 70s to go land on the moon and, you know, hit golf balls and drive a little dune buggy around? And why did we go to the moon? What the fuck did we go to the moon for? Just to say that we did, to put our flag on it as ours? Our flag is the only one there, so it belongs to us. The moon is ours. The moon belongs to America. Other countries have gone up there, orbited it, done things. Well, we had a million-dollar private, billions or whatever. I don't know how. It took a lot of money. Shot it up there, landed it, and then it tipped over and it doesn't fucking work. What a great expenditure of money. NASA why? Who cares? There's nothing on the moon that we can get and bring back here at a justifiable by the cost. If the whole moon had oil in it, it wouldn't be worth it to go up and get it. If it had diamonds in it or gold or whatever, there is helium there, they say, and water or ice trapped in certain places, but why would there be? It would just evaporate into space. I don't get it, but I don't know why we go to the moon. Fuck the moon. And by the way, once we're up there and we're able to live there, think about it. My generation, okay, started coming into consciousness after we had gone to the moon. And so it was in the public zeitgeist constantly, the space program, and then the development of the space shuttle. So we were all raised to think, wow, it's cool, America, yay. The space program and America go hand in hand, and we need to go to space and space and space and space. So we invented a space airplane that can go up into the air and put satellites into orbit or fix them or bring them out of orbit and fix them. And, you know, kids my age, when I was little, they wanted to be everywhere. I want to be an astronaut. I want to go to space. Do kids now want to be astronauts? I doubt it. Why would you want to be an astronaut? You don't even need astronauts now. By the time my son is in his 20s or 30s, why would there be any point of manned space travel? You could just send a drone and a robot up there. The robot will fix everything. They'll put nanobots in this, and they can go to the moon, and robots can build a launching pad that we'll use to go to Mars. These are things I think about, by the way. Again, I don't know why we'd go to Mars. What the fuck are we going to Mars? There's no reason to, unless you can get there in a day. But I don't know. I don't know. I guess if you go to Mars, the thing I think about, if today's generation of young people went to Mars, all they'd want to do is, you know, be the first person to twerk, or the moon, first person to twerk with Earth in the background. You'd have Only Models fans, you know, in their little hotel room on the moon doing whatever they do. I think we're too selfish to go to the Mars, to go to the moon and Mars. I don't know. Maybe it's me. By the way, speaking of social media, I can go live on TikTok now. So if you have any ideas of what I should do, just send me a message. I really don't like looking at myself, but I'll do characters and stuff. I don't know. Whatever. I can go live. So I've been waiting for this. What am I going to do live? I don't know. All right, I guess that's it. I really enjoyed my interview on my WSB Saturday show, the podcast, with Joey Huffman. Check that out if you haven't yet. Check out Radio Labyrinth. If you're here, you already do. So, but check it out. Why not, right? And if you go to the zoo, say hi to the Kookaburra. Tell him Tim said hi. And that you feel sorry for him because, again, all he can do is fly back and forth from his house to his tree and make noise. Well, there's a dirty-ass crow laughing at him from a tree. Bye.